All right, we're going to begin here on the top of Chof Amud Aleph, two lines down, with Basar Tameh. We had discussed the case before, which is that we have a machat that was found inside of the basar. We have this needle that's found inside of the basar. We discussed the nature of that needle. Let's assume it's even an avatuma. And we discussed why when the sakin and the adayim are considered to be tohorot in the migdash. So all of that was the conclusion from yesterday. What we didn't discuss is but basar tameh, that the flesh itself in which the needle is found is tameh. Now, it should be obvious. The needle's in the basar, so the needle conveys tumah to the basar, and it's tameh. You have a kli, that's an avatumah, that's in the basar, it's tameh. But there's one little factor that we did not discuss, and that's what the Gemara is going to deal with today, which is basar tameh. Hai basar did kasher b'mai. What about hefsher the kabel tumah? We discussed this a number of times. Hefsher the kabel tumah means to prime the object in order to be ready and available to accept tumah. This is by ochlim, by food items. The Torah says that it requires that a liquid pass over that food item before it's ready to be mekabel tumah. We know that the liquids that qualify are yad shechat dam. That's the acronym that's used. Those are the seven liquids that qualify to make something mukshar lekabel tumah. And they stand for yayin, dam, shemen, chalav, tal, dvash, and mayim. Those are the seven liquids that are makshir, the object of mekabel tumah. The need or the necessity of your hechsher the kabel tumah is only by what we call tumah kala, on lighter forms of tumah, which is tumah tochlim. When you have tumah chamura, for instance, things like nevela or sheretz that are an avatumah, they do not require hechsher the kabel tumah because they are tumah chamura. There are other instances where something so full that to make tumah chamura that it also doesn't require hechsher, but not really the sugyo over here. Over here, we're talking about an ochel. We're talking about the basara kodesh, which is tumat ochlim. And here we have a tameh needle inside the basar. So if you want this basar to be mekabel tumah, it has to first be primed in order to accept tumah. It has to have a heksher, the kabel tumah. Where did that heksher take place? So inema, if you want to say dit kasher bedam, there's blood. There's blood all over the place. Why isn't the blood, which is one of the seven liquids, qualified to be makshir the basar to be mukshar the kabel tumah? Gemara says that's not a good solution. Baha Amar Rabbi Chiya ba'Avar Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We just had this back on Daf Tzayin. Minayin the dam kodoshim shenu machshir. When it comes to dam kodoshim are not machshir. Shenemar. How do we know this? Because it says lo tochlenu ala aretz tishpachenu kamayim. That you may not eat the blood. You must spill the blood on the ground like water. Dam shenishpach kamayim. Blood that is spilled on the ground like water has a classification like water. So therefore, it's machshir. She'enu nishpach kamayim, blood that's not spilled on the ground like water, is not classified like water, it's not like a liquid, so therefore, enu machshir. And the dam in the kodashim, the dam in the mikdash, is not something that's nishpach ala aretz kamayim, because the dam from the behemah has to be captured. You have to have kabbalat dam, you capture that blood, and that blood is then sprinkled on the mizbeach. So the dam is not nishpach ala aretz kamayim, it's nitkabel bekos. You're mekabel that dam, and therefore it doesn't have a classification of mayim, doesn't have a classification of a liquid, and therefore it's not machshir, the kabel tumah. The Gemara back on Tzayin asked, okay, that's good for dam nefesh. Dam nefesh is what you have to capture in order to put on the mizbeach. What about dam tamsit? What about the dam that's not dam nefesh, that doesn't go on the mizbeach? There the Gemara concluded that dam tamsit is not even called dam. The only thing that's called dam, which is davar shanafesh tuluya bo. So to get the shame dam, it has to be something that the life force of the animal is embedded in. And then, once you have that, then you have a classification of dam, you have a classification of liquid. So dam and tamsit doesn't even make it past the threshold to be a liquid. Then dam and nefesh would qualify as a liquid, but that's only if alaretz tishpachenu kamayim, if you spill it on the ground like water. But if you have to do something with that dam, or you're required to do something with the dam, like in kodoshim, where you have to do kabbalat dam, then it's not kenechshav ke liquid or kemayim, and therefore it's not machshir. So the dam can't be the vehicle for being machshir this animal over here. Back on Tzayin, Tosafot mentioned over there, it's just interesting to note, he says, what about an oaf and a chaya? What about fowl and the wild animals? Where when you do shchita, they require kisui adam. So over there, maybe we should say it's not ala arz tishpechenu kamayim. You can't spill it on the ground like water. You have to cover it. You have to do kisui adam. So maybe over there, that dam should also not be machshir the kabel tumah. So Tosafot says, no, he differentiates. He says, by the kodoshim, there's a requirement of kabbalat adam in a kos. It can never go to the ground. By a chayan oaf, there's no requirement of kabbalat adam. The dam is spilled on the ground, kamayim. There's just, once it's spilled on the ground, kamayim, then you have to do kisui adam. You have to cover it up. But that covering of the dam is after it's spilled on the ground, kamayim. It doesn't have that requirement of kabbalat the dam, and therefore it's different than kodoshim, and that dam would be machshir the kabbal tuma. So dam is definitely not the answer to our question. So now what's the other option? What else could be machshirit? Eladit kasher mashke beit mitbechaya. Maybe it's from the liquids that were in the beit mitbechaya, which is water and dam. So dam we already excluded, so what's left is water. Because water, they rinse down the animals, they wash them off, they clean them. So maybe that maim should be machshirit to be mikabel tuma. Vaham, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, we saw this back on Daf Tet Zayin, mashke beit mitbechaya, lo dayan shein dachen. It's not enough that they are tahor. They themselves are tahor. The liquids are tahor. El dayan machshirin. Not only are they tahorim, meaning that they're not mikabel tuma, they don't convey tuma, but they themselves are also not liquids. They are not machshir the devar the kabel tuma. So then that doesn't work at all. Now you don't have something that's makshir, the kabel tuma. Water doesn't work in the mikdash because liquids of beit mitbechaya don't qualify. Dam doesn't work because dam is not considered to be a liquid in this case because it's not al arz tishbechenu kamayim. So dam and mayim are out. So what was makshir this animal? Now the Gemara back on Tet Zayin said about this statement of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, that it was said, tirgama al adam. Say that that only applies to dam, doesn't apply to mayim. The Gemara over there did that in order to protect Rav, because Rav had a position that when it comes to Riosi ben Yuezer, Ish Tzredan, when he says liquids in the Mikdash are not Mikabel Tumah, they're totally Tahor, he says they're Tahor, both from being Mikabel Tumah and conveying Tumah, that they have no Tumah whatsoever. And over there we asked about this question from this statement of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, and the Gemara answered on behalf of Rav that's Tirgama Adam, say that it's being about Dam and not about Mayim. So why don't we say the same thing over here? That position is only about Dam, not about Mayim. Then Mayim could work over here. So Tosafot says that answer in the Gemara over there is Bedochak. They did it to protect Rav, but that's not the simplest reading of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. The simplest reading of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina applies to all liquids, including Mayim and Dam. And therefore over here, he would say that it applies equally to Dam as it does to Mayim. Because over there, Rav was Doresh, the Psukim of Yitma Yitameh. And therefore, he had two psukim, one pasuk for hechsher the kabel tuma. Since he had two psukim for hechsher the kabel tuma, he said one was dealing with things that are talush, and one is dealing with things that are mechubar, that they're both machshir. So then he ran into this problem. But if you only darshan one of the itamei, or if you don't darshan at all, then you don't have this problem of mechubar and talush, and therefore you don't have to force that explanation into Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. So, ve'ela, so what is machshir this basar over here? El dekasher bechibat hakodesh. It's a unique category, which is the love of Kodesh, love of things that are Kodoshim. There's a certain affinity for things that are Kodoshim. That affinity, both from the closeness of individuals to it, but more importantly, from the level of Kedusha, that automatically brings it into the Parsha of Tumah. It doesn't require Hechsher the Kabbal Tumah because of the affinity and the level of Kedusha that's associated with these Kodoshim, that automatically gives it as if it's Mukshar the Kabbal Tumah. So Chibat HaKodesh works in that way. The Gemara says, Imar demahanyalei Chibat Kodesh leif sulei gufei. When you talk about Chibat HaKodesh, that's enough to open this item or prime this item that it can be mekabel tuma, that it can be pasul. Lemimne beirishon mesheni nami? You want to say that Chibat HaKodesh is sufficient to allow it not only to accept tuma, but to also convey tuma? Where do we ever hear of that? If that's the case, if we know from this, and that's what we're trying to say over here, that it can convey tuma based on this, then Tifshot did by Rish Lakish. That's a question that was posed by Rish Lakish, and we didn't have an answer to it. Well, now we do have an answer to it. The question posed by Rish Lakish and Menachot was Tzarid Shel Menachot. If you have a dried up area or clump of a mincha, an area where the oil of the mincha did not reach, so it's a dried clump in that area, Monim Bo Rishon Rishani. Oh, no. Do we count Rishon and Shani or no? This mincha is not edible. It's flour. It's raw flour, and therefore it's not edible. So in terms of Tumat Ochlim, there is no Tumat Ochlim over here because it's not an Ochel. Why would it be Mekabel Tumah? It's only because of Chibat HaKodesh. Chibat HaKodesh has the ability both to change something that's not Ochel into Ochel. Chibat HaKodesh also has the power to be Makshir something. So here, that's Rish Lakish's question. Here I have this dried Mincha, Tzarid. As Rashi points out, the word Tzarid means dried out. It's the modern day term in Hebrew is for someone who has a hoarse voice, a dried out throat, that's Tzarud. The word Tzarid means here you have the dried out portion of the Mincha. That dried up portion of the mincha, which is only able to mekabel tuma and mukshar the kabel tuma because it's chibat hakodesh. Does it only accept tuma, or is it able to also convey tuma? That was the question of Rish Lakish. So based on our Gemara, if you're going to say that chibat hakodesh is the machshir over here, then you have an answer to your question. The answer to your question is that chibat hakodesh not only allows this Basar to become Tameh, it also allows it to convey Tumah, because the way the Breita is written is that that Basar is Tameh, it's not Pasul. It's Tameh. Tameh means that it can accept Tumah and convey Tumah. If it was simply receiving Tumah, it should say Pasul. So the fact is that if Chibat HaKodesh is what's doing it over here, then we have an answer to Reish Lakish's question. It's obvious that Reish Lakish, we didn't have that answer to the question. So since the question Reish Lakish was left unanswered or unresolved, it's clear that that cannot be the explanation over here, because Chibat HaKodesh, we don't know if it allows you to convey Tumah. We only know that it allows you to be Pasul. I don't know if it allows you to be conveyed Tumah. So now we have to come up with a different solution. Here's the final solution, which is Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, Kohon Chayta Para Sozivchei Shilamim. It was a cow, a bull, that was being brought as a shlamim. Now, it's being brought as a shlamim is important because the shlamim is something that a portion of it goes on the mizbeach, that's the dam and the chalev. A portion of it goes to the kohen, those are the matnot kuhuna that come from the shlamim. And then the remainder goes to the balim. So the basar, the flesh, and the skins, the orot, go to the balim, the owners of this animal that's brought as a korban. So the owner has a vested interest in the bettering of this animal and in the improvement of the skin as well as the basar, because that's he's going to get that in the end. Therefore, Hevira Benar, on his way up to the Mikdash, he takes it through a river on the way up. He takes it through the river to wash the animal, to clean it off, to allow for the expansion or the softening of the skin so it's easier to flay. And also, he gives a lot of liquid to the animal to drink, because causing it to drink helps out with the shchita afterwards with the flaying of the animal. So he does this beforehand because he has personal benefit from it. He has a vested interest in seeing this work out. So he takes it through the nahar beforehand. Vishachata. Then he brings it up to Mekdash and he shachs it. Vadain mashkeh tofeach alea. And there's still liquid that is dripping on it. Right? Tofeach is a term that comes up here. We're going into Tisha B'Av. We're in the 9 days now. It's an important factor, the Gabay Yom Kippurim and Tisha B'Av. That's the amount of liquid that one is allowed to use to put over their body. Which is that if it's tofeach, amanata tfeach, if something is so moist that if you touch it, you can move that moisture to something else, then you cannot use that to wash your face or clean your eyes out with. On the other hand, if it's tofeach shalomanat afneach, if it's moist, but it won't convey moisture to another location, then you can use that to wash yourself on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, because that's not considered to be washing anymore. It's simply just a little moisture that you use the way you clean out your eyes or to clean your face. So now this tofeach, it's still dripping on it. So why does that help? So Rashi says, because after you shech the animal, it's impossible that some of the liquid that was on the skin didn't fall onto the basar now. So because you have this liquid that's on the skin, as you're flaying the skin, the liquid's flying all over the place. Some of that liquid could have gone onto the skin. Now, this liquid came from outside the Mikdash. This liquid is from the Nahar. It's from the river that he put it through before he came up to the Mikdash. So therefore, it's not under the rules or the governance of Mashkei Bei Mitvechayo. And it is Machshir the Kabel Tuma. And since some of that water from the skin splashed onto the basar, that's how we get the Hechsher, the Kabel Tuma, over here. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosafot rejects that explanation, mostly because he says Shmuel is the author of this position. It's Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel, back on Daf Tet Zayin, when he's arguing with Rav, does not subscribe to Rav's understanding of the Psukim of Yitma Yitameh, that there are actually two times that the Torah says that a liquid is Machshir, the Ochel to be Kabel Tuma. The Gemara there asks, why do I need two times? The Gemara there says one for Tulushim, that are Mashkim Tulushim, one for Mashkim Mechubarim. Most likely we'll have to focus on water. Water is the one that it really matters for. So water that's in a Kli can be Makshir the Kabel Tuma, and water that's in a body of water in the ground can also be Makshir the Kabel Tuma. Shmuel does not have that drasha, and therefore Shmuel only has one pasuk about liquids being Makshir the Kabel Tuma. And if you had to default which one it is, it's Mechubar. That's liquids in the ground. So the problem Tosafot has here is, well, this liquid that's being sprayed all over the place from the skin onto the basar is Mashkeh Talush. Mashkeh Talush, according to Shmuel, is not Makshir the Kabel Tuma, back from the Gemara on Daf Tet Zayin. So if that's the case, then what is the Hechsher the Kabel Tuma? So the Ri over here invokes a principle called Shomer, that when it comes to Hechsher the Kabel Tuma, the Gemara has a question as to whether a Yad, something that is a way to pick up or to hold onto an item, if that is mukshar, does that affect the item itself? The Gemara has a question about. But shomer, something that is an encasement for an object, if that object becomes mukshar the kabel tuma, then it also is makshir that which is under it. Over here, the or, the skin that's around the basar, is a shomer. It's a protector. It's an encasement of the flesh. The or went through the water that was mechubar. It went through the water that was in the river. So it now went into a river that was mechubar, and that was makshir the or. By being makshir the or, you're automatically makshir the basar, according to the Ri, because the liquids that are on the ore are on a shomer for the basar, and conveys the hechsher from the ore directly to the basar. And therefore, as long as the liquid encompasses all of the ore, and he went through a river that's mechubar, now I have all the qualifications. What's machshir, something like kabel tuma? And that's how the Tosafot, or the Ri, says that this animal was mukshar the kabel tuma. Right. So that's it. We're going to get it in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to come up in Perkol Sha'ah. The Gemara is going to discuss it there. Brings a source from the Pasuk, Machloket Rashi and Tosafot, as to whether that's a din d'oraita or a din d'rabanan. Rashi says that Chibat HaKodesh is only a din d'rabanan that allows things that are not oklim to become a tuma. It's only a din d'rabanan. And the Pasuk is simply a kra, is an asmachta bi'alma. Tosafot says that it's a din d'oraita, and that the source from the Pasuk makes it into a din d'oraita, and there's conveyance of tuma mi d'oraita. So that's actually a machloket Rashi and Tosafot. We will bump into the source for this in the Gemara in Perakol Sha'ah. It'll bring us the Pasuk and the way that the Gemara derives that Chibat HaKodesh is makshir the Kabel Tumah, and also that it's able to be Mekabel Tumah at all. All right. Now the last piece of the Braita. The last piece of the Braita is Nimtzeit B'Perish. If you find it in the excrement. So we just let this go, but this is the last piece of the Mishnah in Idiot. That's part of the Mishnah Idiot, says that if the machat is found in the perish, is found in the excrement, then it's a kol tahor. Everything's tahor. The Gemara says, v'nehader perish, v'nitmei the basar. Why doesn't the excrement go back and be mitamei the basar? The assumption being here that if you gave it a lot to drink beforehand, that the perish, the excrement, is liquidy. And if it's liquid, then why, if the machat's in the liquid, does the liquid then not go and be mitamei the ochlim? You have a machat that's an avatuma, comes into contact with the liquid, so rishon l'tumah. So rishon l'tumah, it should be metamei the basar. So why isn't the basar tamei? Why is everything tahor over here? So two possible answers here. Amar vader ba'ava beperish ava. Vader ba'ava, it says it's solid excrement. So there's nothing to talk about here. It's not a liquid, it's a solid. And we know that ein ochel metamei ochel, so there's no conveyance of tumah. Even though the machat's found in the perish ava, it doesn't convey tumah to the basar, because that's ein ochel metamei ochel. That's one answer. Vashi amar, afilu tema beperish raka. Even if it's soft excrement, meaning that it's liquidy, mishum davi mashke saruach. This is not a liquid. It doesn't even qualify to be called a liquid. This is spoiled liquids. Liquids have to be something that's a mashke, something that is possibly potable, something that is usable. It's not something that's rotten and gone bad. And that's what this is. This excrement is not something that you consider to be a liquid. It's liquidy, but it's not a liquid. And therefore, it cannot convey tumah because it doesn't have the properties of what would make a liquid that could convey tumah. Those are the two possible answers as to why in the perish it's considered to be tahor, either because the liquid is not really a liquid, or because it's not a liquid. It's excrement, which is a solid, and a solid item that's not ochel is not to convey tuma over here. All right, now we move on to a new part of the sugya. This next part of the sugya is basically very, very fundamental to tuma and tahara. This is really the basics of how we get to all the dinim that we've been looking at until now. The Gemara is going to make a statement which is incorrect, and then the Gemara is going to correct it. But in making this incorrect statement, we're going to test all of these different things that we've learned so far, which is Tana Takame de Rav Sheshet. We had a Tana, a bright or a statement that was made before Rav Sheshet. Sheretz mitamei et mashkim. A sheretz, which is an avatuma, can mitamei mashkim, can convey tuma to mashkim and make the mashkim into a rishon l'tuma. Umashkim, which are rishon l'tuma, mitamim et akli. They can be mitamei et akli, they can clay the utensil, and the kli will then be a sheni l'tuma. Ukli, the kli that's a shenit l'tumah now, mitameyat ochlim, can convey that tumah to food items, and make those food items a shlishi. Va'ochlim mitamim et hamashkim. And the food items can be mitameyat hamashkim, meaning the third level of tumah can make a fourth level tumah in mashkim. So that's the statement of the Tano. Now, if we take this statement, each statement independently, we can work on each one of them, and we can find a source for each of them. The problem is when you put them all together, we can't find such a thing. And I'll explain that in 1 second. Let's take it piece by piece. Sheretz mitamei et mashkim. The fact that a sheretz can be mitamei mashkim, that we already learned back on Daf Yudchet Amud Bet. The top of Daf Yudchet Amud Bet says, V'lav mi kalvachomer ka'ati. It's a kalvachomer. Ma mashkim haba'im machmat kli mitamim. That liquids that come from touching a kli are tamei. Mashkim haba'im machmat sheret lo kosh, okay? Then mashkim that come directly from a sheretz, they certainly should be tamei. Meaning that if a sheretz touches a kli that touches a mashke, that mashke is tameh. That we know from the psukim. Then certainly if the sheretz directly touches the mashke, then the mashke should be tameh. So here, that a sheretz is metameh mashkim, that we have a source for it. That's a kal v'chomer. So that's fine. Mashkim et tamim et a kli. that liquids are mitamei takli. Now, liquids mitamei takli, that is Shita at Rabbi Yehuda. That was Shita Rabbi Yehuda in the Braita, but Shita Rabbi Yehuda, who was Hadarbe, he retracted that statement. But before his retraction, he had to have a source for the fact that Mashkim mitamei takli, and let's assume that this Tana subscribes to that position of Rabbi Yehuda. That position of Yehuda is based on the Psukim, which says, Mikol ha'ochel asher yachel, asher v'olav mayim yitma, chol mashkeh asher yishateh b'chol kli yitma. So the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda is that chol mashkeh asher yishateh b'chol kli yitma. The yitma is going back on the kol kli, not just on the mashkeh, but on the kol kli. So yitma yitameh, yitma means it's tameh and conveys tuma. And so from that you learn that chol mashkeh yishateh b'chol kli yitma, that mashkim can be mitameh a kli, because the mashkeh is yitameh et hakli. And so that's how we know from that pasuk, that's the limud of Rabbi Yehuda before he retracted his position. And so it's over here, we can find a source for that. So now we understand how mashkim are mitamim et hakli. Liquids can convey tuma to a kli. Ukli mitameh et ochlim. That a kli is mitameh ochlin, that we know from the pasuk by kli cheres. Because the pasuk says, v'chol kli cheres ashel ipo mehem el tocho. If you have a kli cheres that has a sheretz that falls into it, and a veil that falls into it, yitma, then it is yitma yitameh, it's tameh, and it conveys tuma, v'ototishbor, and you have to break it. What does it convey tuma for? That's the beginning of the next part, soch mikola ochel, from ochel. So there we know the kli is mitameh et ochlim. And then, the last stage is ochlim mitameh mitamashkim. Ochel is mitameh mashkeh, that's like shitat Rabbi Akiva. Shitat Rabbi Akiva, who darshins yitma yitameh, therefore on the pasuk, mikola ochel, asher yachel, asher yavo alav maim yitma. So what does that mean? That means that ochel not only is tamei, but yitamei can convey tuma. Now we know that ochel is not mitamei ochel, so the only thing can convey tuma to is mashkim. So therefore we have a source for ochlim mitamei mit mashkim. The truth is that you could reverse the order, and it could be mashkim that are mitamei ochlim, because that's the second half of the pasuk. The whole second half of the pasuk is b'chol mashkeh sheishateh b'chol kli yitma. That mashkeh can convey tuma, and there not only can convey to a kli, but also can convey to an ochel. You can't have both, but at least you can have one or the other. So what you have here is four levels of tuma, and we have a source for each one of these positions. The problem with the statement here, the Gemara is going to say if I'm a Mesorah that there's a problem with it. But the underlying problem in this statement here is that there is no such thing as a Revi'i min HaTorah. Revi'i min HaTorah means that in the Psukim, you cannot find the Revi'i l'tuma. The furthest we can get within the Torah is a Shlishi l'tuma. To get to a Revi'i l'tuma, you need a Limud. So those limudim, we have Rabbi Yossi's limud, and we have Rabbi Akiva's limud. Rabbi Yossi's limud is that we have a Kal v'chomer from Mechuser Kippurim. Kal v'chomer from Mechuser Kippurim tells me that a Mechuser Kippurim, which can eat truma, is restricted from Kodesh. Then a Shlishi in truma, which is problematic for truma, certainly should be problematic for Kodoshim. And that Kal v'chomer brings us to a Revi'i in Kodoshim, but that's only through a Kal v'chomer. That's not explicit in the Psukim. What's explicit in the Psukim is only a Shlishi, and that's what Rabbi Yossi says, Shlishi b'Kodoshim min ha-Torah. How is it min ha-Torah? Because the Pasuk says, v'chol basar she'yiga b'chol tameh, any flesh that touches any Tumah. And we said before, what's any Tumah? Well, Tumah, we know from the Torah, can be an Ava Tumah, Rishon, and Sheni. So if it touches any one of those Tumot, it's tameh. So that means the basar Kodesh, if it touched a Sheni Tumah, is problematic. So that's how we know a Shlishi the Tumah in Kodoshim. So to get to a Shlishi in Tumah Kodeshim, I could find. But to get to Revi'i, I can't do it without the Kal v'chomer. And even according to Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to Rabbi Yossi's Kal v'chomer, but rather he learns it from the fact that the Pasuk says, v'chol kli cheres, asher yipo mehem el tocho, kol asher b'tocho yitma. That means that even in Chulin, asheni oseh Shlishi, that a second level of Tumah can make a third level of Tumah. Well, if it can make a third level of Tumah, then when I read the Pasuk, v'abasar asher yiga b'chol tameh, the basar that touches any tuma, according to Rabbi Akiva, any tuma is av, rishon, sheni, shlishi. Those are all tumot that are found in the Torah. So if it touches any one of those tumot, then it's problematic. So that I learn out from a basar sheyigah b'chol tameh. I don't learn it out from these psukim. What's the problem here? The problem here is that the adding in of a mashkim over here, the psukim that we are reading in Vayikra Yud Aleph, all involve a kli that is conveying tuma to an ochel, kli that is conveying tuma to a mashkeh. And then, based on the limud, we say that that ochel, that mashkeh, can convey tuma forward. But that's only when the sheretz touches, that comes into contact with the kli, or is in the avir of the kli. And then the kli conveys the tuma to the ochel, the mashkeh, directly. But here, in our case here, they interjected a mashkeh in between. There is a sheretz that touched a mashkeh, that touched a kli. The psukim are not speaking about that case. And therefore, all these limudim that we have, they're all nice in isolation. But they don't really match up with the case over here because of this mashkeh that's in the middle. Because if I read the psukim, you have kol kli cheres, asher yipol mehem el tocho. Something falls into a kli cheres, kol asher betocho, anything inside of it is tamei. And yitma, if you darshan like Rabbi Akiva, yitma yitamei, it can pass that tumah forward. But that's only something that's inside of a kli cheres that had a sheretz come into contact with the kli cheres when the avir kli cheres is metameit. And then it touches the food or the liquid, and that conveys tumah forward. And the next pasuk says, mikol ochel asher yachel, or kol mashkeh asher yishateh. Food or liquids that are found in that kli cheres, yitma. What does yitma mean? Yitamei. They pass that tumah forward. But those items are found inside of the kli cheres. There's no kli cheres that got the tumah from a liquid that got it from a sheretz. That liquid is added in there, doesn't belong, and that doesn't exist in the Torah. And that's, again, this concept. From these psukim, there is no such thing as a revi'id l'tumah min haTorah, and that's what the Gemara says now. V'lamanu shlosh tumot b'sheretz. We have a misorah that there are only three levels of tumah when it comes to a sheretz. V'hani arbahin. And you just brought in this braita that you just brought here, you showed me four levels instead of three levels. So the Gemara asks that as a misorah. We have a misorah that's three levels, not four levels. What I explained to you is the reason. There's a deeper reason behind why there's only three and four. So the question that you could ask is what we said, but the Gemara simply asks it because they have a misorah already, and the misorah is hee hee. It's the same thing as what we just explained. So the Gemara says, goes mashkim dereisha. Eliminate, cut out, erase the mashkin that is between the sheretz and the kli. The Gemara says, adarava, goes mashkim to seifa. Why are you dropping the mashkim in the beginning? Drop the mashkim at the end. If you need three, you can drop one here, you can drop one there. It doesn't really matter. Gemara says, lo ashkan tano damar mashkim mitamim kli. The problem is, if you leave the mashkim in the beginning in, then we have sheretz touching mashkim, and then mashkim conveying that tumah to a kli. We have no such tana that supports such a position, ella Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the only one who said that. That was Rabbi Yehuda in the Bright that said mashkim can be not only mitame ochlin, they can also be mitame kelim. V'hadarbe. And we know that Rabbi Yehuda retracted that position. So we have no tana to support a position like that. So we're not going to leave mashkim to sit between the sheretz and the kli because we have no tana that's going to support that position that we can rely on to say that there is such a limud like that. There is no limud like that. And since there's no limud like that, then we have no support for a position like that. So therefore, we're going to drop the mashkim in the beginning and leave the mashkim in at the end. So then what I have now is sheretz. Sheretz is an avatuma. Sheretz touches the kli, or comes the contact with the kli. Kli is a rishon l'tuma. The kli then touches ochlim or mashkim. You can take your pick, whichever one it is. Those mashkim or ochlim become a sheni l'tuma. Then those ochlim or mashkim that become a sheni l'tuma convey forward to something else that becomes a shlishi l'tuma. If it's mashkim, then it conveyed it to ochlim. If it's ochlim, then it conveyed it to mashkim. Now what you can't say is have another level below that. Because the itma of the pasuk does not talk about a case where it's sheretz, kli, ochel, then mashkeh, ochel. That latter ochel, even though mashkeh can be metame ochel min haTorah, that's what we saw in the psukim, that's only a mashkeh that came directly from a kli. That's not a mashkeh that came from an ochel that came from a kli. So therefore, min haTorah, we can't get to that revi, and basically you have to pick one of the two. It's either mashkeh from the kli that's metame ochel, or ochel from the kli that's metame mashkeh. And that's the end of the line, that's what it means, three levels of tumah from the sheretz. V'simanech, the way to remember this is nezaito. Nezaito is a term that you know, sukhraita nezaito is a barrel that's discussed in the beginning of the Gemara Ketubot, also in the Gemara in Shabbat, for gabe pasik reshe, to do with stuffing a plug into the barrel to stop the flow of wine coming out of it. So nezaito is a barrel. As Rashi explains here, we're talking about a barrel that's making hops, that's making beer. So how do you put together, when you want to make beer, how do you do it? You first bring the barrel, then you put the hops in, and then you pour the water in to make the beer. So too over here, that's the order, that's the way that you see this set up. You first have the kli, the sheretz touches the kli, then the kli touches the ochel, and then the ochel touches the mashkeh. And that's how you can remember the order of the items over here, if you remember the way that they make beer. Okay, so that's the first one of these fundamental issues. The next one, tnan hatam. We have a mishnah in kelim. Sheretz shenimtza bitanur. If you have a sheretz, which is an avatuma that's found inside of a tanur, hapat shebitocho shnia. The bread that is found inside the tanur is a second level of tumana, bipnei shatanur tchila, because the oven itself is a rishon lituma. So here you have a sheretz, which is an avatuma, is found inside of the tanur. Inside of the tanur, it doesn't even have to be in contact with the tanur. As long as it's in the airspace of the tanur, kli cheres is metame me'aviro. The airspace itself of the toch of the inside is enough to convey tuma. So that sheretz that's found in that airspace conveys its tuma to the tanur. So the sheretz, which is an avatuma, makes the tanur into a rishon l'tuma. The rishon l'tuma of the tanur now goes back and is metame the pat. affects the pot, the bread that's there, and makes the bread into a sheni lit tuma. So that's how you get these levels. You have a sheretz that's an av, the kli, the tanur is a rishon, and the bread that's inside of it is a sheni lit tuma. Again, the bread either can be in contact with the kli cheres, or it can be in the airspace of the kli cheres. Either way, it becomes tamei from the kli cheres. And that's based on the pasuk, which is v'chol kli cheres, asher ipo mehem el tocho, kli cheres, ipo mehem from them, which is the sheretz, the shvatzim that fall into it, kol asher b'tocho, everything inside of it is yitma, is tamei. Tamei, and if you darshin tamei, yitma yitamei, that means that it's tamei and it can convey tuma. If not, it's simply that it becomes tamei. So that object becomes tamei. So that's here. You have the sheretz that's there. It makes the tanur, it makes the kli cheres tamei, and that kli cheres then subsequently goes ahead and is mitamei the ochel or the mashkeh that's found inside of it. Now, the question. Amalei ravada b'av l'rova. V'nechse the high tanur, k'man d'malei tuma dami. Let us say that this tanur is full of tuma. V'tavi high pat rishona. And let the pat be a rishona tuma, which is really the simplest understanding of the pasuk. If you're to read the pasuk, you would really come to this conclusion. And Fred, that's the question that you just asked, which is that this tanur should be able to be conveyed tuma directly to the object that's there through the sheretz. Why do you need the kli cheres in between? And that is, v'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho. You have a sheretz that's inside of it. Kol asher b'tocho yitma. Everything inside is tamei. Tamei from what? Why is it tamei? Not from the tanur. It's tamei because the sheretz is there. Now, the sheretz didn't come into direct contact with it. So how does it get the tuma? Well, we just said before that avir kli cheres is mitamei. The airspace of a kli cheres conveys tuma. So if I look at this internal piece of the kli cheres, as if it's full of a sheretz, it's full all over with a sheretz. It's as if it's touching the walls of the cheres. That's how the kli becomes tamei. So if that's the case, we should look at it as if it's fully tamei inside. Fully tamei inside, and the bread's inside, then it should be as if the sheretz touched the bread itself directly. So why is this pata shniya? Why isn't it rishona? Why don't we assume the food that's inside the tanur is not getting its tuma from the tanur, but rather getting it directly from the sheretz, through the airspace? But that's the Gemara saying here, that because the way avir kli cheres works, which is it's able to convey tuma through the airspace, it's gaman d'mali damya. It's as if it's filled completely with the sheretz. That's what we're looking at, as if. How does the kli cheres become tamei? The sheretz never touched the kli cheres. Has become tamei. It's conveyed through the airspace of the kli cheres. That means that we look at it as if the sheretz is filling in the whole airspace. Filling in the whole airspace, why isn't it also touching the bread that's there? So amalei, lo salka datcho. Can't say this. The Tanya. Yochol yuhu kol kelim mitamim avir kli cheres. Fred, your question. All kelim that are found in kli cheres, they should become tamei. Tamalomar kol asher b'tocho yitma. Says that everything that's found inside of it is tamei. B'samichle, the next pasuk begins, mikol ochel. Ochel mitamir me'avir kli cheres, ve'en kol kelim mitamim me'avir kli cheres. And from that you will conclude that avir, the airspace of a kli cheres, can only be mitamei ochel, and it cannot be mitamei a kli. So here we have some of the basics, the fundamentals of tuma over here, which we've discussed before. Rashi points out that this is throughout Shas, whenever we find this, this is where the source is for this, which is number one. A kli can only be mikabu tuma from an av ha-tuma. A kli is only mikabu tuma from an av ha-tuma, not from something that is a rishon li-tuma. Therefore, a kli can accept tuma from a sheretz. But once a kli is tamei from a sheretz, it's a rishon tuma, it cannot convey tuma to another kli. Why can't it convey tuma to another kli? Because it's a rishon. If it's a rishon tuma, it cannot convey tuma to a kli. Same is true of ochlim mashkim. Ochlim mashkim cannot convey tuma to a kli. The reason ochlim mashkim can't convey tuma to a kli is because ochlim mashkim can never get above a rishon tuma. They're never higher than a rishon tuma. Since they're never higher than a rishon tuma, they can never be mitamei a kli. There is one exception to that rule, and that's the liquids that emanate from azav, azava, nida. Those liquids are an avatuma. That's the only exception to the rule, and they can be mitamei a kli because they are an avatuma. So that teaches us, number one, a kli can only become tamei through an avatuma. Number two is, uchlima mashkim, the highest level that they can reach, is rishon tuma. So if they put those two pieces of information together, then uchlima mashkim can never be mitamei a kli. Now, in terms of kelim, kelim can only accept tuma, we said before, from an avatuma. We have that in the pasuk, v'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho. So anything that falls into it. So that's number one. We have the kli, that a kli is mekabel tuma from an avatuma. Now, the other place that we show this, or we can show that, is by a human being. A human being that is mekabel tuma, for instance, by nevela. When he comes into contact with a nevela, a human being, a nevela is an avatuma, the human being becomes a rishon tuma. The clothing that is on this human being does not become tamei. The clothing is a keli. So what do you have here? He's touching an Avot Tumah. He becomes a Rishon. The clothing stays Tahor on him. Why does the clothing stay Tahor on him? It must be because Kelim can only accept Tumah from an Avot Tumah. They cannot accept it from a Rishon Tumah. So that's the proof, or that's the source for the fact that Kelim do not accept Tumah except from an Avot Tumah. Now, if you carry Hanosei Nivleta, someone who carries a Nevela, not only is he Tameh, but his Begadim are Tameh. So over there, that's a Gzeret HaKatuv. Gzeret HaKatuv is when you carry a Nevela, not only are you Tameh, but your clothing is Tameh. How do I know that that's only a Gzeret HaKatuv? Because as soon as you put the Nevela down, you can't be Metameh clothing anymore. Clothing is only Tameh while you're Noseit. So that's a Gzeret HaKatuv by Nosei. But otherwise, you as a human being who becomes a Rishon LeTumah when you're in contact with a Nevela, does not make your clothing Tameh. So that means that you, Kelim, cannot accept Tumah from a Rishon LeTumah. The same is true by Adam, by a human being. A human being can only accept Tumah from an Av HaTumah. The only way an individual can come Tameh is either if he is an Av HaTumah, or if he comes into contact with something that is an Av HaTumah, becomes a Rishon LeTumah. Otherwise, he cannot become Tameh. So again, Ochlim and Mashkim cannot be Metameh Adam. Now, there are Dinim Derabanan, which we've seen all over the place, that change this. But Mina Torah, Ochlim and Mashkim cannot be Metameh Adam. The highest level they can reach is Rishon LeTumah. And Rishon LeTumah is not Metameh an Adam. It's not Metameh a human being. So again, that's that understanding that Kelim can only accept Tumah from an Avot Tumah, not a Rishon LeTumah. Adam can only accept from an Avot Tumah, not from a Rishon LeTumah. Ochlim and Mashkim can accept both from an Avot Tumah and from a Rishon LeTumah. They can accept Tumah. But Ochlim and Mashkim can never be above a Rishon LeTumah. The highest level that they can reach is a Rishon LeTumah. And so therefore, by definition, Ochlim and Mashkim cannot be Metameh Akli, and Ochlim and Mashkim cannot be Metameh Adam. So those are the principles that we have. Now, let's look at the situation here. Situation here is that I have this Kli Cheres, and a Sheretz fell into it. That's what the Pasuk says. It says, Kol Kli Cheres, Ashei Po Mehem El Tocho, fell in there. Then, Kol Asher B'Tocho, anything inside of it will become Tameh. So, what's inside of it? So, that's the subsequent Pasuk. The subsequent Pasuk tells you what's inside of it. You know what's inside of it? Mikola Ochel, Asher Yeachel. And what's else? The end of that Pasuk, B'chol Mashke Asher Yishateh. The only items that are mentioned in the subsequent Pasuk are Ochel and Mashke. Now, why would that be true? Why is it true that only Ochel and Mashke are Mekabel Tumah, not a Kli? Why is Kli totally absent from here? Well, I have an easy answer for you. The easy answer for you is that the Tumah that's being conveyed over here is a Tumah that is a Rishon LeTumah. And Rishon LeTumah can only affect Ochel and Mashke. It cannot affect a Kli. Well, how do you have a case where it's only Rishon LeTumah? That's the answer to our question. How do you look at a Sheretz that's inside of a Kli Cheres? You have two ways to look at it, two possibilities. The Sheretz inside of a Kli Cheres could be that the Sheretz is touching the Kli Cheres, as if it's touching, because it's in the Avir Kli Cheres, and the Sheretz with Zanav HaTumah makes the Kli Cheres into a Rishon, and then the Kli Cheres is a Rishon, is Metameh, what's inside of it? That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the Sheretz is inside the Kli Cheres, and it's as if it fills the whole airspace up, because it's as if it's touching the Kli Cheres. When it's filling up the whole airspace, not only is it Metameh the Kli Cheres, it's also Metameh everything inside of it. It's as if the Sheretz touched the food that's inside of it. That's the case, and the Sheretz is an Avot Tumah, and the food that's in there is a Rishon LeTumah. So how do I know the answer to that question? The answer to that question is, what can become Tameh inside of it? You have three possibilities of what can become Tameh inside of it. Kli, Ochel, Mashke. Now, if it's an Avot Tumah, and the Sheretz as if it's touching directly these objects, then what could be inside the Kli Cheres? It could be a Kli, it could be food, could be Mashke. It would work with all of them. Sheretz is an Avot Tumah, it's able to be Metameh Ochel, Mashke, and Kli. On the other hand, if you view that the Sheretz as if it touched the Kli Cheres and made a Rishon LeTumah, and then the Rishon LeTumah, the Kli Cheres, then comes in Metameh what's inside of it, the Ochel and the Mashkeh, then we have a Rishon LeTumah. The Kli Cheres is a Rishon LeTumah, and it makes what's inside of it a Sheni LeTumah. Well, if it's making a Sheni LeTumah, that only works by Ochel Mashkeh, that does not work by a Kli. So what's the answer to our question? The Pasuk tells us the only things that are Tameh inside of a Kli Cheres are Ochel and Mashkeh. Well, if Ochel Mashke are the only things that become Tameh inside of it, we know the answer to the question. The answer to the question is that those objects are a Sheni LeTumah. Because if they were a Rishon LeTumah, we could also have Kli in that list. The fact that Kli is absent from that list shows you that whatever is happening inside of this Kli Cheres means that it's falling into a Sheni LeTumah and not a Rishon LeTumah. So that's how to learn, proper way to learn the Psukim and the answer to the question about what's the status of a Kli inside of a Kli Cheres. All right, these are fundamentals of Tumah, and this is the idea or the issues that come up. Anytime you talk about a sugya of Tumah, these are the things that you need to know about Ochlim Mashkim, about Kelim and Adam. All right, now the Gemara goes back. Now that we're coming into the closure of Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim, the Gemara goes back to the beginning of the sugya and brings up things that we've seen all the way along back on Daf Tedvav. which is the question about the conclusion of the Mishnah. The Mishnah ends off with Rabbi Yossi saying to Rabbi Meir on Daf Yud Daled that Enohi min Amidah. That which you're trying to compare here is not correct. The comparison is incorrect. But then he quotes something from Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua. He says, Am Rabbi Yossi Enohi min Amidah. Umodim. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, they both agree, Shusofim, Zula Atzma, Vezula Atzma, that you have to burn Trumat Tehorah by itself, and Trumat Tmeya by itself. Ama Nechluku, where is their machloket? Ala Tluya, Vala Tmeya. If you have Trumat that's Safek Tmeya, and you have Trumat that is Tmeya, Vadai Tmeya. There, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tisarev Zula Atzma, Vezula Atzma. You burn each one of them individually. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Shtehen Keachat. You burn them together. So the machloket, as we mentioned before, the machloket between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer is the requirement of mishmeret trumotai. There's a requirement for the Torah to be shomer trumah, to protect trumah from becoming tameh. That mishmeret trumotai, does that only apply to trumah tehorah, to tahor trumah, then you have an obligation to protect it from against becoming tameh? Or is that also true by trumah tluya, by trumah that is a safek? Rabbi Yeshua believes, no, it only applies to trumah tehorah. Trumah tluya is no longer under that category of being mishmeret. And therefore, you don't have to protect it from becoming tamei. And therefore, you can burn the trumat tluya with the trumat tmeya. On the other hand, Rabbi Lezer believes that it's still under that category, that necessity to be protected, like trumat torah. And therefore, you cannot actively be mitamei trumat tluya. And therefore, you have to burn them separately, trumat tluya by itself and trumat tmeya by itself. So that's what the Gemara is discussing over here. Rav Chista, Rami, Piskha, Piskha. Rav Chista asked a question from one position by Pesach and another position by Pesach, Umishani. And he explained it. Mi amar Rabbi Yeshua shtehem ke'achat. Did Rabbi Yeshua really say that you can burn trumat tluya with trumat meya? Biraminu. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Ein anidon domea deraya. This is a tosefta that we quoted earlier on, back on Daf Tevav, to figure out what Rabbi Meir was saying midivrahem lamadu. Because over there, the Gemara made a suggestion about what midivrahem lamadu was. And then now they brought the tosefta to show you what it was speaking about. So that tosefta, it says, Sheidu rabuteinu amaheidu. What were they speaking about? If Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim is speaking about a case where you have something basar kodesh that became tamei through an avatuma, and basar kodesh that became tamei through a vlada tuma, zetamei v'zetamei, they're both tameim. That's why we allow you to burn them together. If you damage shemen that's pasul, touch a tfuyom, which is sheni the tuma, and it makes a shlishi the tuma b'tuma, that you can put it into a lamp that came into contact with the tamei mate, ze pasul, that liquid, that shemen is pasul, v'ze tamei. So that's why you can burn them together. Afanu modim b'tshuma. I agree with you, Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Meir, I agree with you, that if it was tshuma, sheni mate, v'lada tuma, if you have tshuma that became tamei through a lower level of tuma, rishon, sheni du tuma, and Josephimo Dom Trumat Shinit made Avatuma, you can burn it together with Truma that became Tamei with Avatuma. That's the proper correlation from what you learned from Mechanina Skana Kohanim and from Rabbi Akiva. If you want to extrapolate that to Truma, the proper extrapolation is to take something that's similar. That means take Truma, that's Tamei. It's a higher level of Tuma, lower level of Tuma. You want to burn them together? Go ahead. I agree. That you can learn out of Mechanina Skana Kohanim. Aval, how do you ever come to the conclusion? Each Nisrof Afilu Tuleyaim Etmeya. How could you even be so rafe? Something that is safek tuma with something that is vadai tuma. Obviously, he meant, how could you burn something that's tahor with something that's tmeya? But he says, even, not only if something tahor tmeya you can't burn together, but how could you burn something that's a safek tuma and something that is tmeya? Shema yavo Eliyahu v'tarein. Because Eliyahu and Navi might come and tell you that this safek is tahor, not tamei. So then you're burning tahor with tamei, which is not allowed. That we don't learn from Chanina Skana Kohanim. That we don't learn from Yekiva. Just tell you that if something is tamei, two items that are tamei, or one item is pasul, one is tamei, that we allow you to burn them together even though they are distinct levels of tuma. But that's only if they're both tameim. If one of them is not tamei, they never allow this. But over here you see in the Tosefta that the way that we explain this, Shema Yavo Eliyahu V'tarein, or way we explain this position, how could you put the tluya together with the tameya? You can't burn them together. What do you mean you can't burn them together? Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah says that Rabbi Yeshua believes you can burn them together. Tluya and Tmeya. Yet, Rabbi Yossi in the Tosefta is saying that you cannot burn them together. So which is it? So Mashani, here's the answer. Ha Rabbi Shimon alibed Rabbi Yeshua. Ha Rabbi Yossi alibed Rabbi Yeshua. It depends. There are two Tanaim explaining that position of Rabbi Yeshua. You have Rabbi Shimon explaining the position of Rabbi Yeshua, and you have Rabbi Yossi explaining the position of Rabbi Yeshua. The Breita, the Tosefta, is a case where it's Rabbi Yossi speaking the name of Rabbi Yeshua. And our Mishnah is a case where it is Rabbi Shimon speaking in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. The Tanya, we have a Braita that shows us that difference. Yudad Shechaliot B'Shabbat. The 14th falls out on Shabbat. The problem is you can't do Bir Chametz on Shabbat. You can't burn Chametz on Shabbat. Mavrim et hakol mifnei Shabbat. Get rid of it all before Shabbat. V'sorfim Chumot Tmeot Tluyot V'Torot. You can put Chumot Tmeot Tluyot V'Torot all together. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir the Shitato that we found in the Mishnah by Rabbi Chanias Kanakonim. That you're allowed to, once you reach the point of Isur, you're allowed to burn all of these items together. So you can burn Tmeyat, Tluyat, Torah, you can burn them all together. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Torah bifnei atzma, Utluyat bifnei atzma, Utmeyat bifnei atzma. Each one has to have its own Sreifa. You have to have the Torah by itself, the Tmeyat by itself, and the Tluyat by itself. Each one of them requires its own space. So that'll be Rabbi Yossi, will be the Tosefta. Like in the Tosefta, where he says Rabbi Shua doesn't believe you can put Tluyat and Tmeyat together. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Everybody agrees you can't put tahor and tamei together. And if it's a safek tamei and tahor, shesorfin. There you can definitely put them together and burn them together because there's no cheskat tumah here. So it's a safek tumah, so it still has a cheskat tara, so you can burn it together with Torah. Where do they argue? On a tluyah and tamei. When it's a safek tumah and a tamei. Rabbi Lezer omer tisareif zuba atzma v'zuba atzma. Each one of them you do by themselves. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Shtehem Keachat. You do both of them together. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon will be the author of our Mishnah in the position of Rabbi Yeshua, where he says that you're allowed to burn Tluyah and Tmeyah together. The only little catch in that is that our Mishnah, Vahamatit and Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi speaking. It says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Enohi min Amida. And then Rabbi Yossi is the one who says after that, Amod Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yeshua. He's the one making the statement. You're telling me it's authored by Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi is the one speaking over there. So how come I, Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Meir? No, you have to understand what is happening here. Rabbi Yossi is speaking to Rabbi Meir and saying to Rabbi Meir, Afilu Rabbi Shimon alibi de Rabbi Yeshua de Mekel. I am not so Mekel. I think according to Rabbi Yeshua, you cannot even burn Tluyah and Tmeyah together. But even according to Rabbi Shimon, who's more Mekel than I am, he will say that Rabbi Yeshua says you can burn Tluyah and Tmeyah together. Ki Mekel, but Tluyah Tmeyah. He only goes as far as to say that a safek tumah can be burnt together with tmeah. Aval torah tmeah, if you have something that's absolutely tahor and something that's absolutely tmeah, lo, he doesn't allow that. Even Rabbi Shimon, who's most makel in this case, does not allow you to burn torah and tmeah together. That is the question that was posed by Rav Chista. We have a stira, or seeming stira, within the position of Rabbi Yoshua. In one case, in Tosef, that looks like he does not allow you to burn tluyah and tmeah together. We have our Mishnah where Rabbi Yossi seems to indicate that Rabbi Shua thinks you can burn Tluyah and Tmeyah together. The answer of the Gemara is that it's authored by different Tanaim. One is the position of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yeshua. That's the Tosefta. And one of them is the position of Rabbi Shimon in Rabbi Yeshua, and that is our Mishnah. Even though our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Yossi speaking in the name of Rabbi Shimon and saying even Rabbi Shimon is so Mekil, it's not Mekil as far as you want to be, Rabbi Meir, and therefore, Rabbi Meir, you are wrong. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina brings a question. Rami Truma Pischa. Asks a question from Truma to Truma on Pesach. Umishani. And then he answers it. Mi amar Rabbi Yeshua shteim keachat. Did Rabbi Yeshua really say you can burn them together? Tluyah and Tmeyah. Viraminu. Chavit shel Truma. Shunolad bas sefek Tuma. You have a Chavit shel Truma. Again, this is from back and Tedvav in the first part of a Chanina Skano Konim. You have a Chavit shel Truma. You have a barrel of Truma. That yeah, all of a sudden you have a safek tumah in it. Rashi says it's a fake nagaba, safek whether you came into contact with it. Tosafot didn't like that. He says the real safek here is that you have two barrels and a tamei went in there and he doesn't know which barrel he touched. So that's a safek tumah. So it's not a problem of safek tumah b'shut yachid, which would automatically be tamei. So there is a safek tumah in this barrel. Rabbi Lezer Omer, imaytamunechet b'kol matorfa. If it was in a place that was exposed and apt to become tamei. You have to protect it. You still have a din of shmirah. You have an obligation to be shomer this truma from becoming tamei. You have to protect it. If it was open and exposed, you have to cover it because you have to protect it from becoming tamei. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua Meir, if it's in a safe place, then you should expose it so that it could become tamei. If it was covered, open it up. So there's a possibility of tuma coming here. It's a safek tuma already. You no longer have an obligation to watch it, to be mishmeret, and therefore better it becomes tamei, and then you can dispose of it than have it hang around until we figure out whether it's tamei or not. Based on that, by the truma, it's groma in the adayim lo. What Rabbi Yeshua permits over there is that you can do it in an indirect manner. You can do it in a way that allows the truma to come. Be adayim. He doesn't allow you to actively be tamei. He only allows you to do it derech groma. But our Mishnah In our Mishnah, he's allowing you to put Trumat Tmeah together with Trumah that's Tluya. Biyadayim. How do I explain that difference? How come on our Mishnah he allows you to do it Biyadayim? And over here, he only allows you to do it Derech Ramah. The Gemara says, no problem. Mishani, ha Rabbi Shimon alibid Rabbi Yeshua? Ha Rabbi Yossi alibid Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yossi alibid Rabbi Yeshua is Rabbi Yeshua by Trumah. That's what we know. There, that Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yeshua believes that you have to keep everything separate. So therefore, Gromo you can do. Biyadayim you can't do. Rabbi Shimon believes that Rabbi Yeshua thinks you can Tluya and Tmiyah can be burnt together, and he's the author of our Mishnah. So it's Rabbi Shimon who is citing Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah. That's who says that Tluya and Tmiyah can be put together. That Rabbi Yossi, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, is the Mishnah that we have from Trumah about whether you're allowed to bigrama, expose it or not expose it, but not actively do it. That's the position Rabbi Yossi inside of Rabbi Yeshua does not allow you to actively burn Tluya and Tmiyah together. Rabbi Lazar, Rami, Trumah, Trumah. Rabbi Lazar poses the question as a question in Trumah internally, which is that we had two Mishnayot. Again, this is back on Ted Vav, the beginning of the Sugya. Umishani, and he answers. Mi Amar Biyoshi Groma in Biyadayim Lo. Did Rabbi Yeshua really say you can be metame something through cause? Not directly, but through causation. But you cannot actively do it. You can't actively do it. Is that really true? Viraminu. That's the next break, the next Mishnah that we brought from Trumot. Chavit Shel Trumash Nishbara Begat El Yuna. You have a chavit that broke in the upper part of the press. And the lower gat, in the lower press, is wine that is already tamei. It's chulin tamein. Chulin tamein are not problematic. Chulin tamein can be eaten as long as you don't eat chulin bitara, and you can use it for times that you are tamei. That chulin tamein can be eaten. The truma up top is truma tehora. That truma up top that's tehora can be eaten also by a kohen because it's truma tehora. The problem now is that once the barrel breaks, the Trumah Torah is going to flow down below, and it's become Tamei in the Chulin Tamein. Once it's Trumah Tamei, it's no longer going to be eaten. It can't be eaten by anybody. Yisrael can't eat it because there's Trumah there. A Kohen can't eat it because Trumah Tamei is not allowed to be eaten. All they could do with it now is burn it or get rid of it. So how am I going to allow this wine from up above come down below? So the answer is, Mode Rabbi Lazar U Rabbi Yeshua Shem Yachol Atzil Mimen Revit B'Tara. That if you can save from it, if you can bring a tahor barrel and save a revi'it of the wine from above, bitara, the true mitara, then you're obligated to do that. Yatzil, that's what you must do. Take the time, whatever time it takes you to get this tahor barrel, and save a revi'it worth of truma bitara, that's worth it. So that everybody agrees with. Vimlav, what happens if you can't find a barrel that is tahor? You only have tame barrels. So now you have two choices over here. One choice is to stand back and let it go. You stand back and let it go. That Trumat Torah is going to flow into the Chulin Tmein, and then you're going to end up with Trumat Tmeah or Medumat Tmeah, and you're going to have to get rid of it. That's one possibility. The other possibility is to intercede. What are you going to do? You're going to intervene. Bring a Tamei barrel and allow the wine from above that's been pressed above the Trumat Torah to flow into a Tamei barrel. You are going to actively make that Tamei, but then you're going to protect the Chulin down below. What's the halacha? Rabbi Elazar Omer Tered V'ti Tamei V'ayit Tamei Biyad. Rabbi Elazar says, be inactive. Be passive. Just let whatever happens, happens. You don't get involved. You don't actively be mitamei the truma Torah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, yitamenu biyad. No, get actively involved. Go ahead and make the wine, the truma Torah, tmeya, in order to protect the chulin that's down below. Mishani, so what's the answer to this question? Over here, Rabbi Yeshua is permitting you to actively be mitamei the truma. In the previous mission that we brought from truma, we said that Rabbi Yeshua allows you to do it derech ramah, but not actively. So why over there is only Derech Ramah and over here it's actively? The answer is, Mishani Shani Hotam Dika Yafsid Chulin. There's another mitigating factor over here. The mitigating factor is that the Chulin is going to be lost. In the other case, when you're burning the two items together, those two items have to get burnt anyway. So if you're going to burn both of them anyway, there's no saving, there's no Hefsed over here that you're trying to save. On the other hand, in the case by the Gat, by the press, if you stop the Trumah from coming down, you save the Chulin. There's a big monetary savings over here. There's a Hefsed. And therefore, we permitted you to be metameh biyad. So there's a dispensation to be metameh, the truma biyad, when there's hefseid. If there's no hefseid, then you can only do it derech ramah, not ayudei yad. Now, matkif lo rova, this is a question, again, we saw earlier in the Gemara. Matinta nami yika hefseid etzim. Our Mishnah is also a case where you have hefseid etzim. If you have to burn them separately, then you have to make two different fires. So now you have a loss of money because of the two different fires. If you could put the tluya and the tmeya together, you can do it biyadayim and be metameh them, then you can put it into one fire and you save money. You don't have to make two different fires. So Amalei Abaye distinguished between them and says, the Hefse Meruba Chashashu, the Hefse Muat Lo Chashashu. Depends on the nature of the loss. Large losses, we worry about. We allow you to intervene and be Mitameh the Trumat Torah Biyadayim in order to protect against the large loss. from minute losses like this, where you have to make a second fire, that we're not going to consider. That's not within our purview. On top of that, I would differentiate and say that in this case, when you're protecting the chulin that's there. You have the Truma Torah that's going to fall into the chulin. The chulin is the object that you're protecting. You're protecting that from the hefset. By the etzim are the vehicle for burning the item. The hefset, you're not protecting any of the things that exist already. It's not the Truma Tmeah or the Tluya that you're protecting. You're not protecting them. The only hefset you have is the etzim. So the hefset is almost an exogenous variable. It's not even a part of what you're trying to save over here. So I think you could make that additional distinction. Umanat Tamra, how can I prove to you the hefset miruba chashishu, the hefset muat lo chashishu? How do I know that there is such a distinction between large losses and small losses? Detanya, ever brighter. Chavit shel shemen trumash nishbara begat elyona. If you have oil that breaks in the upper press, ubitachtona chulin tmein, and in the lower press, you have chulin that are tmein. Mode Rabbi Lezer the Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Lezer agrees to Rabbi Yoshua in that case. Shem yachol atzil mimen revit betara yatzil. If you could save it with tara, a revit betara yatzil, same as we saw before by the wine. Vimlav, if not, tereid vititame, ve'al yitameno biyad. Let it flow down, step away, be passive, and let it become tame. Oh, what just happened here? Where did this argument between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer go? In the case of the wine, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer disagree what to do. Rabbi Lezer says, stand back, be passive. Rabbi Yeshua says, get in there, be metame the yayin to protect the chulin. Over here by Shemen, all of a sudden, Rabbi Lezer agrees to Rabbi Yeshua and says, be passive, stand back, let it become tamei. Why does he in one case say, let it become tamei? In the other case, he says, don't let it be tamei. Maishna shemen. What's different about shemen? Deroi lahadlik. Because what can you do with shemen that is tamei? Truma tamei has to be burnt. If it happens to be shemen, it happens to be oil, we're going to let you burn it and get benefit from that. You can use it for your lamp. You can use it for your fire. So you, yes, you're losing a little bit, but you're not losing it totally. The shemen you no longer use to eat, or as a food item, but you can use it as a fuel. And since you can use it as a fuel, you've lost a little bit, but you haven't lost it entirely. It still has utility for you. Since it has utility for you, Rabbi Yeshua says, don't be mitameh biyad, let it go down. On the other hand, yayin, when it becomes trumat tameah, and chulin with the chulin tameyin, there's nothing you can do with that yayin. The yayin becomes worthless at that point. So that's a hefsid meruba. So that's the difference. Hefsid meruba by yayin, Rabbi Yeshua says, intervene, protect the chulin down below. When it's shemen, which has utility, even after it becomes tamei'ah, he says, don't intercede, be passive, and let it become tamei. So Gemara asks, wait a minute. By shemen, there's utility because it's roi ladlik. Yayinami roi ziluf. You can use wine for something. Wine that's tamei'ah, chumat tamei'ah, you can use it to sprinkle. The sprinkle over here is usually to settle the dust. That's what you use ziluf for. But not only is settling the dust, they want it for its aroma. They want it for like an air freshener. It deodorizes. It gives off a smell. So that's why you want to sprinkle it around. So Gemara says, "V'chitei mazilof lav milti." If you want to see, zilof is not valuable. But yes, you can do zilof with it, but that's like worthless. It's as if saying it's worthless to do zilof. That has no monetary value, and therefore there is a complete hefsed even if you do zilof with it. V'amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chia, shotim lug b'sela. If you have a sela, then you drink wine for a lug of wine. U'mezalfi lug b'shtayim. And you have two sela, then you buy a lug to be mezalif. So we see that there is a value. Not only is it valuable, but it might even be more valuable than drinking wine. So that you pay up for wine in order to do ziluf. I mean, that's something that is beneficial, something that's considered to be a norm. And you could do this with wine, and it costs money to do it. And you should expend the money to do it. So that means there is a value to this ziluf. Gemara says, we're talking about bichadash. We're talking about new wine. New wine doesn't have an aroma to it. It doesn't have any smell to it. So therefore, as a ziluf, it's not worthwhile. So Gemara says, v'aroy liyashno. You can age it. You can age the wine, and then the wine will have some sort of aroma, have some sort of smell to it. Gemara says, Ati bele de takala. If you keep it around, then there's a possibility you'll drink it in the interim, and drink it is asur. So we don't want to keep around trumat meyah, because there's a high likelihood that you're going to get into trouble with it. So to prevent that trouble, we want to get rid of it as soon as possible. So we're not going to let you keep it around and age it. Gemara says, why don't you say the same thing by shemen? Shemen nami ati bele takala. If you keep the oil around in order to use it as a fuel, you're also going to have that possibility of utilizing it. And coming to utilize Trumat Meah, why don't we worry about it there? The Rami Levi Klimos, that's no problem. You stick the shemen into a disgusting kli. A disgusting kli means that it's no longer edible. You've ruined its edibility, but you kept it as a fuel. For fuel, it doesn't matter that it's in a kli that's dirty and it makes it disgusting. That's fine for the fuel. As far as ochel is concerned, by ochel, can't eat it anymore. So now you protect it against the problem of takala. So nai yayin nami. So do the same thing with the wine. Rami Levi Klimos. Why don't you stick it into a disgusting clay? Gemara says, Lazilov Kabayile, Klimos Ramile. The whole point of the wine is to give off this nice smell, this nice aroma, to make it into an air freshener. And now you're going to stick it into this disgusting clay that's going to ruin the smell. then you defeated the whole purpose. So nobody's going to put into a kli ma'us, because then you defeated the purpose of it. And if you can't put into a kli ma'us, you can't protect against takala, and therefore there's a takala by yayin, we won't let you keep it around. So what you see here is that there's a differentiation between hefsed merubah and hefsed muat. By hefsed merubah, which is the yayin, we say you can protect it. Rabbi Shua allows you to intervene and make the muat tmeah in order to protect it. On the other hand, by the shemen, where it's only hefsed muat, he doesn't like. He says, be passive and let it become tamei. Takala atzma tanaehi. This idea that we worry about takala is actually a machloket tanaim. The Tanya, we have a brayta. Chavichel yayin shel truma shnit meit. If you have yayin shel truma that became tamei, b'chamor mim tishafech. Now here's a question about the word should be here, whether it's tishafech hevel or tishafech hakol or tishafech hevel. So there's all three of those possibilities. One of them, hevel, means the altar immediately. Hevel means chavila in one shot, or hakol means all of it. So those are the three possibilities of how to read it. But Yisra Beit Shammai says you got to spill it all out right away. You keep it around and you do ziluf. You do the sprinkling with it. So now you see here, Beit Shammai says you got to get rid of it immediately. Beit Hillel says you can utilize it. You can have ziluf. You can utilize it. I'll be a middle position over here. Bisadeh, if you're out in the field, tishafech hevel, then you get rid of it immediately, because in the field there's no need for ziluf. So then it's going to come the day takala, and you got to spill it out. Bebayit, that says ziluf. If you're in the house where it's useful for you and has utility, then do ziluf, because you can use it right away. So therefore, what do you have here? You have a case where we're worried about takala. Because when you're out in the field and you can't utilize it right away, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yossi says, get rid of it. When it's in the house, and you can use it for ziluf, and you can utilize it right away, then he says it's okay. Ike de amre, there's some that say, b'chadash, that when it's brand new wine, tishafek chevel, then you have to get rid of it entirely. B'yashan, when it's older wine, tase ziluf. So again, the same idea of timing, which is over here, that when it's new wine, it's going to take a long time before it's going to be useful for ziluf, and we don't want you to keep it around because of the problem with takala. On the hand, older wine you can keep around because it's ready to be used right away as ziluf, and therefore you can utilize it, and therefore it's okay to keep around. But what you see from Rishon Rabbi Yossi is that the distinction he's drawing is that there's a problem in takala. Now, it could be that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are arguing about takala, or it could be, according to Rishon Rabbi Yossi now, that they agree. It's just a question of what is takala and what's not takala over here, because he's differentiating between Bayit and Sadeh, or between Chadash and Yashan. Amrulo, Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi's peers said to him, Ein achrash lishit machrat. The third one is not machriya. What does that mean, that the third one is not machriya? So there are three different interpretations over here. The Rabbeinu Hanano gives the first interpretation. He says that a machriya has to be a peer. If you want to be someone who's a compromised position, you have to be a peer with the other people who are here giving their positions. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi is more than three generations away from Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And that is because the Talmidim, the Rabbeinu Hanano says this, the Talmidim of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Akiva, and then Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi, we already saw, is a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a Talmid of Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua is a Talmid of Beit Hillel. So if that's the case, they already have three generations, and Rabbi Shmuel bir Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel bir Rabbi Yossi is already the fourth generation. So he's not considered to be in the same era as Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, and therefore he cannot be a Machriya. Machriya is only if you're a peer in the same era, then you can be a Machriya. If you're already out of their era, then you're no longer a machriya, because now you're a new opinion. You're a third opinion here, because you cannot bring a compromise between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. That's the way the Rabbeinu Hanano learns it. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Hai, quoted in the Rabbeinu Hanano, says, what does it mean, Ein Ashlishi Machriya? Is that, when are you a machriya? You're a machriya when you take up one of the positions that already exist. Beit Hillel has a position here. Beit Shammai has a position over here. If you take up the position of Beit Hillel, or if you take up the position of Beit Shammai, now we have machriya. Now it becomes two against one, and the majority will rule. So that's when you have a machriya. But over here, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is taking half of Beit Hillel's position and half of Beit Shammai's position. That's not called a machriya according to Rabbeinu Hai. So that's the way Rabbeinu Hai learns that. Ein hachrach lishit machrat. And then you have Rashi and Tosafot. Rashi says it in one way, Tosafot says it in a much stronger way, and Rashi earlier on in the parak also says it in this manner, which is that a machriya is only a machriya when he takes the existing positions and then he takes a portion of each position over here. As Rashi points out over here, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel never said anything about the Bayit and the Sadeh. They never mentioned that, yes, Bayit, yes, Sadeh, or no Bayit, no Sadeh. Had Beit Hillel come along and said that you can do it both in the Bayit and the Sadeh, and Beit Shammai says you can't do it both in the Bayit and Sadeh, and then Rabbi Shmuel comes and said, differentiates and says, I'll take Bayit according to Beit Hillel, and I'll take Sadeh according to Beit Shammai, that's a machriya. Because then he's taking the existing positions, and he's taking a piece of that position, a piece of that position, he puts them together, That's a machriya, because then in each one of those positions becomes two against one, and then we're machriya. So that's what's called a machriya. Over here, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai never mentioned Bayit and Sadeh. All of a sudden, Rabbi Shmuel superimposes on their machloket this idea of Bayit and Sadeh, which they never said. And since they never said it, it's as if he's introducing a new third opinion. That's what Shlishit means over here. We have a new third opinion. He's not a machriya. He's a new opinion completely. Tosafot just points out that even if Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai did not say it explicitly, Rashi says here they would have to say explicitly. Tosafot says even if they didn't say explicitly, but that was the reason behind their machloket, and we knew for sure that they meant Bayit and Sadeh, then Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi would be a machriya. But over here, since Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai may have nothing to do with what Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi says about Takala, their reasoning might be totally different. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi is bringing what he seems to be a compromised position or middle position over here is really a new position entirely. It's a third position, a totally new position. So that's what's meant in Hachrat Shlishit Machrat. You have the position of the Rabbeinu Hananu, which means that he's not in the same era as Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Rav Haigon says that he's not paskin like either Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai. And Rashi and Tosafot who say that he's not taking the existing positions. We don't see this within Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. He's all of a sudden introducing new information that's not found inside of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, and therefore he's not a machriya. So since he's not a machriya, he becomes a third position. The reason he wants to be a machriya is because Rabbi Yochanan says, halacha kemachriya. Whenever someone's a machriya, the halacha is like the machriya. So if Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi presents himself as a machriya, then the halacha would be like him. What the Gemara is saying over here, what Amrulo, his people and his generation said back to him is, you're not a machriya. Since you're not a machriya, the halacha is not automatically like you because you're really a third opinion, a new opinion, not the same opinion. But it's clear from Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi that takala is the issue over here. So takala is the issue according to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Either his peers, those that are, say, Amrulo, disagree with him, or maybe even Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai disagree with him. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is saying that takala is the issue. Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai never said takala is the issue. They may have a difference in their opinion, have nothing to do with takala. So we see from here that there is a machloket tanaim as to whether we worry about this issue of takala, or we do not worry about this issue of takala. Okay, we'll stop over here.